a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'll call House Taxation to order. Welcome to those of you who are here today. Welcome also to those listening on the Internet. A reminder to turn off your cell phones, please. At this point, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman,
here.
Feinstein, Peterson,
here.
Hunhoff,
here.
Solem,
here.
Latterell,
here.
Norstrup,
here.
Rosum,
here.
Rasmussen,
here.
Erickson,
here.
Duvall,
here.
Miller,
here.
Russell,
here.
Wick,
here.
Greenfield,
here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum present. Is there a motion at this point to approve the minutes?
Second.
It's been moved by Latterell, seconded by Erickson to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The minutes are so approved. Is our page present right now? Must have slipped away. If you have handouts, please, those of you who will be testifying on our couple bills this morning, either get them to a page or one of the interns, and we can distribute them that way. All testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. We have a couple bills up, as I mentioned. We will start with the first one that's listed, House Bill 1090, and then we'll proceed to the other one. I don't know whether there's out-of-town testimony on the first one, but in order to accommodate any, we'll proceed with that one. So at this point, I will call for proponent testimony on House Bill 1090, which is an act to exempt certain amateur sports coaches from sales tax. Good morning, Representative Rosum.
Good morning, Chair, Mr. Chair, and committee. And there will be two handouts coming your way. One will be the letter, Tona Rosum, District 20, representing Davis and Gerald in Aurora. You will have two handouts. One will be the letter, and I am here representing, I will call this a constituent bill. Mitchell Baseball Association, which is Legion, and VFW Ball is who brought it to my attention. So you will see the letter that Mitchell Baseball received, and then one person who couldn't be here that wanted to come testify, who is in North Dakota. He travels for a living. While those are being handed out, I will address the bill. Bill 1099 actually takes an existing bill and exempts amateur sports coaches from sales tax, and that's important, amateur sports coaches. We're not talking instructors. We're not talking other things. This bill is simply adding into what exists that exempts officials from amateur sports sales tax, sales and use tax. And I'll give you a little bit of history. Officials were exempted in 2005, and the how this all got started is back in 1995 when Governor Janklo started his initiative for property tax relief and went in and got rid of in a blanket manner got rid of all these exemptions. So little by little, out of the woodwork are coming these little bits of information that Department of Revenue, bless their little pea-picking hearts, find the needles in the haystack, and this is one of them. Just to give you, so that's the history, and typically, these kids are, the coaches are high school kids and college kids that get paid a minimal amount of money. They might get $1,000 or $1,500 to coach. I'm not sure that it covers their expenses. The turnover is significant because we are seasonal ball in Mitchell, even though we have one heck of a baseball team and a complex. There are communities like Sioux Falls and Rapid City that have year-round programs. Typically, in a year-round program, you would W-2 those employees. Same Aberdeen has a big program as well. So this is going to impact smaller communities as mostly. I say that because with the turnover, if you've ever had to meet a payroll, you know that to set up a payroll service and W-2s, and particularly on turnover, you have a fairly significant job on your hands. And so you have to find a nice CPA or accountant who's willing to handle that for you. As it is, we in Mitchell were run by a 15-member volunteer board, parents and people who care about kids and really give a lot of time to keep these kids off the streets and out of trouble to administer the whole program. And we have an accountant who then issues a 1099s at the end of the year. This does not include, as you will see by the bill, anything pertaining to elementary, secondary, or post-secondary school. These are nonprofit organizations. Again, it's American Legion and NVFW. That's pretty typical of how it's run. I will just talk a little bit about 1099 pay versus W-2 pay. And if you've met a payroll, you already know this, but when you receive a W-2, or issue W-2s, the employee is paying 7.65%. 6.2% of that is Social Security. The remainder is Medicare. Your employer pays the other part, the 7.65, for a total of 15.3. On top of that comes income tax, depending on your income tax bracket. When you are paid via a 1099, you're responsible for what's called employment tax. So you're paying both sides. You're paying the employee side and the employer side, so you're paying 15.3%. What we're saying, and Department of Revenue, it is in statute, they can do it, but what we're saying is we're going to charge you a 6% sales and use tax on top of your 15.3, whether you're paying income tax is totally separate. We don't know whether they're paying it. So we're basically saying we're going to charge a tax on a tax for a nonprofit made up of volunteers that are serving kids. And I, first off, I don't think morally that's right, and I think that money would be better spent on the kids' programs. And I can tell you in Mitchell, that would mean about $2,000 a year, which would mean for every single kid, $30. We run about 65 to 80 kids, closer to the 65 to 70 kids through that program every summer. So that's another $25 or $30 per year to cover the sales tax. And you might say, well, the parents are paying it. Well, I'm here to tell you, we know that for some parents, it's not a problem. For some, it is. And where there's one of those little munchkins playing ball, there's likely to be two or three. So it's not just once, $25 or $30 oftentimes. And we're taxing nonprofits, and I really can't think that was the original intent of the bill. I will stand by for any questions. I implore you to think carefully about this. We're talking about nonprofits, talking about American Legion, VFW, the kids, and the coaches. And for those of you that have coached, you're not getting paid very much to cover what it costs you to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rosen. Are there further proponents for House Bill 1090? Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1090? Seeing none, are there any opponents on House Bill 1090? Opponent testimony on House Bill 1090. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for
the time. I don't believe your mic is on.
There it is. Sorry. Thank you. I apologize for that. Appreciate your time this morning. Doug Schenkel, Department of Revenue. We're here to discuss House Bill 1090. What that is attempting to do, as Representative Rosen stated, is to exempt some coaches from some sales tax, or in many cases use tax, because the organization does pay the tax that's due. We do allow that. As Senator Rosen stated, any person who receives a 1099 is responsible for their own income tax, self-employment tax, those sorts of things. That's with all services. A lawyer provides a service. He pays 6% sales tax on top of his services, along with all of his income taxes. A person who cuts your hair does the same. I fail to see where that argument really applies here, because any person who provides a service will be doing the same thing there. Keep in mind, we're not here to take anything away from kids playing baseball. We don't want that. Okay, that's what's important here is that there are laws in effect that we need to administer. And currently, for this particular group, the Department of Revenue is collecting about $75,000 a year. That's an estimate. We feel it is a conservative estimate. Representative Rosen mentioned a baseball program in Mitchell. Okay, that is one program. There are numerous programs right now throughout the state who are paying this tax. Several groups pay several thousand dollars a year each. And have been doing so for quite some time. Okay. As I mentioned, we're looking at about a $75,000 hit on this one annually. Doesn't seem like a lot of money, but we also feel that the way this bill is written, that's actually a low figure. And why is that a low figure? Well, she mentioned baseball coaches specifically, but Does that then exempt dance classes? Does it exempt gymnastics instructors, tennis instructors? There's skiing coaches out in the hills, soccer, softball, figure skating, hockey, golf, bowling, swimming. There's tons of organizations out there who this could affect. Think of it this way. What if I am training for the Olympics? Obviously, I'm not. But what if I were? What if I hired a personal trainer? How about a nutritionist? Could those be considered coaches? As is, this bill really opens up a lot of things that I don't think were the intent, mind you, but it still opens them up. Okay. The state of South Dakota, since 1969, has kept the tax rate at 4%, extremely low. You're watching states around us with much, much higher tax rates and a whole lot more difficulties with their revenues for the states. Why has South Dakota been able to keep that tax rate at 4% this long? It's because we've been able to not give in to the special interest groups, and keep in mind, baseball is near and dear to me, as are a lot of these. However, we cannot give in to these special interest groups who come in and look for an exemption to the sales tax. Every time we do, that erodes our base just a little bit more and a little bit more. Eventually, we have two options when that happens. We either have to raise the tax rate on everyone, or we have to stop providing some of the services that we'd like to provide. And education and Medicare obviously come to mind. There are our biggest expenses here with the state. And it's extremely important that we're able to continue to provide these services. Every time we come through with one of these exemptions, and every time we've had one, it's been for a good cause for those people who come through. For that individual group, they feel it's a good thing. But every time we give in to that temptation, we erode our tax base just that much more. And eventually, we have to look at either, again, raising the tax rate, or we have to look at what services we cut. We currently have about $500 million worth of exemptions that we feel are out there. You've all received a copy of our exemption report. This just adds to that. and continues to add to that. And just erodes our base a little bit each time we do that. Each time we give in. We have to resist that temptation to add exemptions to our tax base. A couple of years ago, a summer study was done by the legislative body. One of the questions that was asked in that study was, how do these exemptions come into play? How do we get these exemptions? Well, it's exactly like this. We get one special interest group who comes in and says, you know, I don't think I should have to pay that tax. As you heard in a previous meeting, you heard someone say the only fair tax is the tax someone else pays. Well, not true. The only fair tax is the one that everyone pays, so we can keep that at a low rate. And that's what we're after here. It's better for a lot of people to pay a small amount of taxes than for smaller groups to have to pay larger amounts of taxes. It just makes sense. Recently in the news, you'll have seen or heard probably from states of Minnesota and Nebraska. They're looking at expanding their sales taxes on services. Why? Because they look at South Dakota's structure and they say, how does South Dakota do it? Okay. They say, look, they keep their tax rate low and they tax a lot of services. And that's, they're looking at South Dakota because of that. South Dakota has a balanced budget, and it's because of these ideals. They keep their tax rates low, and we don't have a lot of exemptions. The question again of 1099s was brought up. Have you ever had a computer repaired? Have you ever had your hair cut? Your car broken down, you got it fixed? These are all services on which people do pay sales tax and then turn around and have to pay income tax on that as well. Basically, a lot of groups come in front of these committees every year saying, we need money for this, we need money for this, we need money for that. And it's true, we do. We need to be able to provide the services for all of these groups. And every time we give in to one of these exemptions, we have less money to provide those services. This is nothing against any baseball team, soccer team, though that's great. I grew up playing those sports. I grew up coaching those sports. I understand that. What this is about is the fact that we continue to erode our tax base every time we give in to one of these exemptions. And again, however unintended that it may have been, this bill does open up a lot of possibilities. For things that I don't think maybe were intended, but it is distinctly possible that these are going to be exempted with this bill. So when I say that it's a $75,000 per year, that is a very, very conservative number. We feel that it could be much more far-reaching than that. So I just ask that you would look at this bill and look at our tax base and just defer this to the 41st day because it just makes sense. And I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Schenkel. Is there further opponent testimony on House Bill 1090? Further opponent testimony on House Bill 1090? Seeing none, I will ask the sponsor of the bill, if Representative Rosen, would you like a chance to rebut?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would. You know, first off, I have to say, comparing a nonprofit organization such as the Legion and the VFW that work for kids to attorneys who obviously are in it for profit, or spas that provide nutrition and trainers that are obviously in it for profit, or hairdressers who obviously run a business are in it for profit, to compare that to kids and youth groups that are run by volunteers and coaches who are paid a minimal amount of money, who are kids, doesn't make sense to me. This bill is very clear. It says certain amateur sports coaches. It doesn't say hairdressers. It doesn't say attorneys. It doesn't say a nutritionist. And we're asking these kids to pay 21.3% before they get to even pay income tax on it. So, I mean, these things have a way, sales and use tax has a way of being passed on down to the nonprofits, such or the sponsors, such as the Legion. And again, we know they're run by fairly large groups of parents and interested people for the benefit of the youth. And really, should we be taxing nonprofits with sales and use tax? I think this bill is very clear. And I would emphasize that in 1995, before the governor went in and did the blanket, it was exempted. And the Department of Revenue, whether it's $75,000 more or less, I guarantee you, if your little league ball team hasn't gotten the dreaded letter, they will, because they're on a mission. So please consider the nonprofit versus the for-profit sector when you look at this. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions of any of the sponsors or any of the testifiers? Questions? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for someone from the Revenue Department, please. If I may,
please,
Mr.
go ahead.
Early on in your testimony, you mentioned the 1099. Now, contract laborers that receive 1099s, is sales tax due on all of contract laborers that receive 1099s?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
If the contract labor, day labor, is providing a sales taxable service, yes. If they are providing an excise taxable service, no. Okay. A business owner hires someone to come help them clean their storeroom, for example. Absolutely. The sales tax or use tax is due on those services.
Thank you. Representative Hunhoff.
For Mr. Shingle also. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the bill sponsor raised a good point. So for the 1099 sales, the coach would be paying income tax on that, and also the six could be a 6% sales tax, which could get up to, what, 21%, she indicated. So let's take the, not to pick on attorneys, but let's take the attorney. So he takes, he has gross sales that he pays the sales tax on, but wouldn't he only pay, and I know that you're not an income tax specialist, but he wouldn't pay income tax on the full amount. Would he only pay income tax on, let's say he made 5 or 10% gross margin, he would pay income tax only in that 5 or 10%, isn't that right?
Not being an income tax expert, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. Obviously, he would be able to deduct some expenses, those types of things.
Thank you. Representative Latterell,
question for the sponsor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rosum, is it common practice in these coaching situations that the coaches incur expenses in the coaching that they're doing that aren't necessarily submitted for reimbursement to the clubs?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Yes, indeed it is. They have travel expenses. They may have uniform expenses depending on the team and what those requirements are. And I think that we have somebody on this committee that can speak to that, because they have the personal experience of being one of those coaches. To come out ahead on this deal, you do it for the love of the kids. And most of these coaches have actually come up through the ranks of Mitchell Baseball and love the sport and do it for the kids.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is for Mr. Schinkel, please. My question to you, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My question is, when you do find a business unlicensed, whether it be sporting event or whatever it is, in this instance, I don't know if you can speak specifically as to what was taken place here, but when a business is found unlicensed for this, were back taxes requested, penalties, interest? What is the department's normal practice for this? Is there some lenient in finding that? Does that make sense?
Go ahead. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. In some cases, it varies. Let me put it that way. We look at the facts of each individual case when we find an unlicensed business. In a case like the letter that you just received from Mitchell Baseball, we would not require them to go back and determine what they paid. Excuse me, what they had paid previously. We would ask them to begin with their 2012 in this case payments and start there. Again, it's a case-by-case basis. We look at the facts of each of the cases and then make that determination as to where we would go. Here with that one, for example, we would not.
Follow-up, please.
Another question in regards to the 1099. Would it be an option for each of these coaches to be licensed currently, or the organization, regardless if it's a nonprofit or a for-profit, soccer, baseball, whatever it is, that particular organization could get a sales tax license and remit that, or have them as a W-2, or is there a different option for these particular coaches other than just exempting them from sales tax, that they could be a employee, or how would that work?
Mr. Chair? Okay. Really up to the organization. Technically, sales tax is due on these, which would mean it would have to come from the coach. What we've done is we have allowed the organizations to pay the use tax so that not each individual coach doesn't have to do that. Okay. It's again, up to the organization. Some coaches may prefer to do that because as was mentioned, if a person receives a 1099, they're responsible for their own income taxes. Well, guess what? If they do incur some of those expenses that were talked about, they can deduct them. Okay? They don't have to pay the income tax on those. However, it's really up to the organization. A lot of them do make the coaches W-2 employees. A lot of them choose to pay the use tax. It's really up to each individual organization. We do grant some leeway in that, even though technically it's sales taxable and the coaches themselves should have a sales tax license. To make it easier for everyone, we allow the organizations to remit use tax.
Representative Ladderell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. Schinkel. Why is there not sales tax charged on W-2 employees' labor?
They're an employee of the business or whoever would be hiring them, so those services are not subject to sales tax. They're specifically exempted because they're a W-2 employee.
Please go ahead.
So in the situation where we are charging sales tax on services, isn't that typically in a situation where the person is engaging in the service as a business and has the necessary bookkeeping and planning activities set up so they can deduct those expenses?
In some cases, sure. I can't answer for all businesses. And as far as the bookkeeping on this, I don't see that as an issue, to be 100% honest with you. If you haven't seen a sales tax form, I have one here with me. It's basically three lines, and we have a toll-free 800 number. We would help these organizations fill out those forms. They don't need a CPA to do that, trust me. It's about three lines. We would be more than happy to walk them through the process.
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My situation that I'm thinking of is when you have a good deal of miscellaneous expenses, those people who are being asked to be coaches are not typically bookkeepers. And, in fact, they're probably more likely not to be a bookkeeper. And it's not just the sales tax form that they're having to deal with. It's the fact that if they received, say, $2,000 for the coaching for the summer and incurred possibly equal or even greater expenses in the endeavor of coaching, they would have to have bookkeeping set up in order to deduct all the expenses that they incurred so that they would be able to show on their income tax that, you know, they didn't, you know, actually incur a profit from this endeavor. And therefore, what they would end up doing is sending a check to the Department of Revenue here in the state for 4 or 6%, and then they'd end up keeping zero money because they deducted the rest as an expense and ended up with nothing. However, the state still got their 6% or 4% in this case. So can you comment on that?
Sure. Again, that's as with any business. Businesses are required to remit sales tax whether they make a profit or not. They make it on their gross. They remit the sales tax on their gross sales. So I can't answer for whether they're actually making a profit or not. The sales tax is still due on their gross, whether it's a grocery store or a mechanic or whoever it may be. If there's no profit involved, they're still paying sales tax. And as far as having the bookkeeping, I can't answer to that. I'm not an income tax expert.
Thank you. Are there further questions of the committee? Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have, and it's along a little different line, but I'm wondering if in an administrative rule or in statute, sporting event is defined, and particularly as it relates to, this says any sporting event. How have you defined that in the past for purposes of enforcement?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. With the coaches, it's a little bit different than with an official. There are many events out there that may be considered to be a sporting event that don't have an official. So we're looking at two separate issues there, really. Obviously, a baseball game has an umpire. Pretty easy to see. A marathon, for example, maybe doesn't have an official at that. So we can't really combine those two. It's easy to see when there's a referee or if there's an umpire or if there's a scorer at a gymnastics event. It's not so easy to determine what could be considered a coach in those situations. Is that defined anywhere? I don't believe it is. I don't have an answer to that with 100% certainty.
Further questions in the committee? Seeing none, we'll close this portion of the testimony and we'll open it up for committee action or discussion. Representative Russell.
I'd move do pass.
Been moved by Representative Russell, seconded by Representative Hunhoff. Do pass on House Bill 1090. Discussion, Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. After having heard the testimony, which I thought we got pretty far down into the weeds on all of this business, I think that the overlying concern here that's probably most important is that we encourage rather than discourage people assisting our youth in this state and making efforts to help them develop. And I think that this legislation is not only well-meaning but important in that goal of making sure that we have folks that actually feel that the state is more interested in assisting rather than hindering. And therefore, I ask that we pass this out to the floor. And if we need to clean something up regarding the definition of sporting event, I would certainly be willing to work with anybody who we could in order to make sure that we have narrowly defined it in such a fashion that we don't reach unintended or have unintended consequences for tax purposes. Thank you.
Thank you for the discussion. Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on a question that a representative asked concerning what the alternatives might be. If the coaches were to apply for sales tax licenses, having high school kids make their application for a sales tax license for 1 year or potentially 2 years probably doesn't make sense on their end. Knowing how to do it and having somebody direct them how to do it probably doesn't make sense on the department's end, having to issue and track that. When you set up a payroll service and pay W-2, that does require a payroll service. I've spent 25 years doing that, and it requires filing the quarterlies, paying the taxes, etc. So, yes, it could be done. You'd have to find a very nice accountant who would be willing to do that for you, or you'd have to have somebody on your board who'd be willing to take that responsibility. So it becomes difficult in these types of situations because you have a few coaches and a lot of turnover annually to try to figure out how to do it. Thanks.
Thank you. Further discussion. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I certainly don't fault the Department of Revenue for pursuing this, and I actually really do applaud their intent to try to treat all taxpayers alike, and perhaps they do, but this legislature doesn't. We wrestle with all sorts of rebates to all sorts of groups that can much better afford their taxes in all sorts of different ways. So all taxpayers aren't treated alike in South Dakota, and I can't imagine anybody that wouldn't deserve a break more than these amateur volunteer coaches who are out there not for the money but just to do some public service. So it's not hard ideology here. We're talking about is practicality, I think.
Thank you. Further discussion? You know, Representative Erickson.
I look at this a little bit differently, that I think that we're there's unintentional things that could happen. I originally signed on to this bill not realizing the financial impact it had. Yes, it's small, but I think that this could really be opening up for soccer coaches and other types of coaches. We're not just looking at baseball here. And I think the financial impact, I truly believe it could be a lot bigger than that. These college kids that are serving our youth and coaching, I have small kids myself. It is important. My husband and I coach our kids right now on a volunteer basis. But I applaud them for working and doing that. But when you do that, there does come responsibility behind that. And I know the Department of Revenue, like they said, would assist in doing those forms for them and helping them. My concern really, truly is that coaching really is going to be opened up to all across the board, and that this small exemption may turn into something much larger each and every year after.
Thank you. Further discussion. I guess as a person who's coached youth athletics for a number of years, sometimes on a voluntary basis, sometimes in a situation where I've been a W-2 employee, sometimes I guess when I've done it on this basis, I've never recognized that the scenarios were different. I've never recognized that I was subject to a use tax, and it's a use tax because I've been used and abused as a coach. I figure that I've made less than $3 an hour for those hours that I've spent on the Legion baseball field. I coached T-ball, peewee, and midget baseball for a number of years. I was never subject to a sales or use tax. We don't subject our high school coaches to a use tax or a sales tax. They are W-2 employees, and I didn't recognize how close this was going to hit to home. But certainly through the course of the last couple days and the testimony that's been offered here today, it's conjured up some feelings. I do appreciate, and I recognize that what Representative Hunhoff said is true too. The department has a job to do, and they're doing it to the best of their abilities. And it's, I guess, our job to recognize in certain instances that the law has been painted with a broad brush, and sometimes it's up to us to consider whether we tighten up a little bit. We've addressed the issue of umpires. I was actually the prime sponsor on that bill with Representative Gassman, but never did it dawn on me that, hey, as a coach, you're subject to attacks also. So I do appreciate the attention that you've brought to this matter, and at this point, I will call for a vote. Those in favor of the do pass motion on House Bill 1090 will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman?
Aye.
Feinstein?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Henhoff?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Rosem?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Erickson?
No.
Duvall?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Wick?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes and 3 nays.
House Bill 1090 will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. The vote was 12-3. Representative Rosem, obviously you will carry that in caucus and on the floor. Representative Hunhoff, would you like to take that to your caucus? Thank you. I do believe that testimony on House Bill or Senate Bill 54 will be relatively short and to the point. Mr. Weist, I'm seeing confirmation. At this point, we'll open up testimony on Senate Bill 54, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code. Mr. Weist.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Every year, the Department of Revenue comes forward with we call it the IRS bill, and what we're doing is we're updating references in our code to the latest version of the Internal Revenue Code from 2012 to 2013. There are different provisions that use income requirements for property tax exemptions or property tax freezes and so forth that are scattered throughout the code that are found in the sections that are found in Senate Bill 54. We have to update every year because if we didn't update every year, we would be trying to figure out what someone would make in 2013 using the IRS code of 2000, for example, and that doesn't work because nobody can remember what the IRS code was in 2000. So every year we update it with a bill similar to the one before you, and I urge the committee to support Senate Bill 54 and stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weist. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 54. Further proponents on Senate Bill 54. Seeing none, are there any opponents on Senate Bill 54? Opponents on Senate Bill 54. Seeing none, we'll close this portion of the committee hearing. Are there any questions of the committee? Any questions of the committee? Seeing none, we'll move into committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Latterell.
Mr. Chair, move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Latterell, seconded by Representative Solon. Do pass on Senate Bill 54. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Latterell.
Although I do wish that we could keep the 2012 in the language, which may make my payroll taxes continue to be lower, I don't believe we have a choice in this matter, so I move do pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion on Senate Bill 54 will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Henhoff?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Rosem?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 15 ayes, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 54, having received a unanimous vote of the members-elect, will go to the floor with the do-pass recommendation.
Consent.
It's been moved consent by Representative Wick, seconded by Representative Kirschman. Sorry, Representative Erickson. Those in favor of the consent motion will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? No. All right. Senate Bill 54 will go to the floor on consent. Representative Erickson, would you like to carry that in the Republican caucus and Representative Kirschman in the Democrat caucus. Thank you. Mr. Weiss, would you like to briefly address the materials that you've circulated to us via email?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. If the committee members remember, at one of our first meetings, a number of questions for data requests were made. At the request of the chair, I emailed those to all members of the committee. Hopefully you have received those. It included a one-page email with some answers to several questions that Representative Wick had. And Representative Peterson, and we also included with that the legislative update that was presented to the Transportation Committee by Deb Hilmer with many motor vehicle stats and figures and so forth that somebody requested. So we did that. The other thing I want to mention briefly is that you should have all received the Department of Revenue's annual report in your mailbox, lots of good information in there. The final thing is the Senate Taxation Committee asked for a summary of our state sales tax exemptions. As was mentioned earlier, we did the 2011 summer study. We updated it. I also emailed that to you folks as well. If someone wishes to have a paper copy, I have paper copies here today. With that, Mr. Chairman, if anybody has any questions, I'll certainly try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Are there any questions of the committee? All right. If you have any questions, again, you can feel free to correspond via email. Mr. Weiss is right across the street, so give him a call if you need help getting in touch with him. Give me a shout. With that, I would point out to the committee that we have six bills. We really had a vast influx now of bills. We've got a glut out there. Next Tuesday, I'll be looking at any of five of those bills. Representative Peterson may or may not be here, so we will not take up 11:53 next Tuesday, but we may take up any or all of the other five bills. Stay tuned on that. I'll be working with the sponsors of the bills to make sure that time will allow and that they can have the people from back home here to testify and so on and so forth. So we'll keep in touch on that, but we do have session next Monday, so it's not as though you'd be able to stay at home for a few extra hours anyway. Any questions of the committee? All right, seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn? It's been moved by Representative Hunhoff, because I was looking that way, and seconded by a voice down there, I think Representative Duvall, to adjourn. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. We are adjourned.